You have a seat. Good morning. Welcome to Crossbridge. Happy Father's Day to you if you're a dad. And would you say thanks to these guys for leading us into the presence of the Lord? I'm always blessed to be under Brian's leadership. God has anointed him just to lead us into the presence of the Lord. If you don't know me, my name is Chris Dillashaw, and I'm the pastor to students and families here at Crossbridge. Our lead pastor, Kirk Freeman, is out this week. He is with our Costa Rica team. And I just want to tell you, it's a joy to be in the house of the Lord with you on this Sunday morning. And I'm delighted to share with you what the Lord has placed on my heart as we continue our summer study, Walking with Jesus. We're just walking through the Gospel of John chapter by chapter, and we're reading it together as a church family. If you want to pick up a copy of the reading plan, you can pick one up on the tables that are in the back of the room. You can download the Crossbridge app and find it there. And I just want to say hi to the people who are worshiping with us this morning on the live stream. You know, it's summer, and you will probably at one point in time this summer find yourself not in San Antonio, but you can still participate and worship with your family. You just download the app, get on the live stream. And so welcome to you guys if there's anybody out there. I don't even know that. But I want to say thanks for watching, hopefully. So this morning, before we jump into John chapter 4, I just have a question for you. What quenches your thirst? It's hot outside, you're working in the yard, whatever you're doing, and you're thirsty. What quenches your thirst? Because as I was reading through John chapter 4 with you this week, it's obvious that that's a central question that people have. And I kind of had a writer's block moment this week, you know, needed some creative inspiration. And so I did what anybody in this world now does, thanks to Al Gore and the invention of the internet. I just went straight to Google. Right? And just type that in. What quenches your thirst? And you might be surprised to find out that I found 218,000 results in less than a second. That red arrow shows you that right there. And so what I had been laboring over for an hour, Google was able to respond to me in less than a second. So that's like defeating it in a defeating thought right there. But check it out. There's an answer. Right there, Google's introduced this new thing called snippets, and it just kind of gives you an answer. So you don't have to weed through all 218,000 articles. You can just read the answer right there. Water is best to quench your thirst. Skip the sugary drinks and go easy on the milk and juice. There are many options for what you can drink, but without a doubt, water is the best choice. It's calorie-free, and it's easy to find as the nearest tap. And so the question this morning might not be what quenches your thirst. Google has already given us that answer. The question is, do I really trust that answer? I like sugary drinks. Water seems to be tasteless to me at some times. There's nothing better than a great glass of chocolate milk, right? So do I trust this answer? Because the truth is, every one of us gets both physically thirsty, but perhaps this morning, more importantly, every one of us at some time in our life, we're going to be spiritually thirsty. And so I just typed that into Google too. What quenches your spiritual thirst? And this time I got about 4,270,000 results. It took Professor Google just a little bit longer this time, a half a second. But I noticed something different this time. He didn't give me that easy, quick answer, right? Lots of opinions about what might quench your spiritual thirst. And that might be some bad news to somebody this morning. Because if you come to church spiritually thirsty, and I think all of us are spiritually thirsty in one way or another, we just don't know it yet. But my guess is it's going to take us a long time to read through 4,270,000 responses, if that even interests you. I did the math. If you spent 5 minutes on each one of those posts, just 5 minutes, it would take you over 40 years to read through that many posts. So aren't you glad that there's just one place that you have to go to find the real answer this morning to what quenches spiritual thirst? The Word of God is we're told, is God's love letter to us. It's his words, it's his thoughts, it's the collection of his thoughts towards us that are breathed out onto a page. And there's just one place that you have to go this morning to find this answer. And I realize that probably all of us have come to church with at least a question or two this morning. Maybe you didn't even realize that your questions are about your spiritual thirst, but there's the obvious question that a lot of us have is, you know, what does walking with Jesus look like? Does God love me? Is he for me? Can I trust him? So you probably have some question in this arena this morning. And then there's questions about our sin. Can God really forgive me? Can I really have my chains broken? Can I really be used by God in this world? After all, you probably don't think that anybody else knows what you're doing, but all things are common to men, right? And then there's maybe some different questions. We don't always recognize them as spiritual thirst type questions, but you know, what's my purpose here on this earth? You know, why do I get so angry at my children? Or why do I struggle in my marriage? We all brought questions in the form of something that we might be trying to seek out to quench our thirst this morning. You might even have questions like, why am I depressed? Why do I not find meaning in my work or this life? Why is it hard to share the gospel with my neighbor? Why is it hard to love my wife or my husband? And finally, maybe the biggest one of all is there more to life than just this? And chances are, we all brought some form of question. It might not have been on the forefront of our mind, but we brought it to church this morning. And I'm praying that God would use this story, this simple story, 11 verses from this story this morning, just to help us see and know how it is that Jesus and walking with him and a relationship with him quenches our spiritual thirst. In this series, we've just simply been walking through the Gospel of John, examining encounters that Jesus had with real people. It's what's great about the Gospels. They're real-life conversations that Jesus had with people. And these encounters, and the details of these encounters, some of life's most profound questions are answered. If our eyes are open, we'll see. And that's why they call it the Gospel. That's why they call it the Good News. Because in these stories, we actually get to see what walking with Jesus looks like. You don't have to be all by yourself in your room pondering that question. You can go to the text. You can go to a story like what we'll find in John chapter 4, and you can see with your own eyes what walking with Jesus really looks like. Brian taught us last week that you can have a conversation face-to-face with Jesus. That's what we saw in Nicodemus. And 2 weeks ago, we saw the way that Jesus and his mother related over that, that miracle when Jesus turned water into wine. And today we see Jesus meeting a woman in her everyday life at a well. And so this morning I'm praying that God would use what John records as Jesus' conversation with a Samaritan woman at the well to help us process what quenches spiritual thirst. Because Jesus had a date with this woman at the well. He had a meeting that he was going to meet. And John tells us that in John chapter 2 and 3 that Jesus had been engaging in ministry in the countryside of Judea and that he had been in Jerusalem for a number of days. That's where he cleared the temple. That's where he had the conversation with Nicodemus. And now his attention is turned to return to Galilee. In the beginning of John chapter 4, we note that Jesus is now leaving Judea. He's headed to Galilee, only this time he's not going to go around Samaria. He's going to go right through it. You see, Jews didn't normally travel through Samaria, but this time Jesus is going to go through Samaria because he has an appointment to keep. And we know that from the first few verses that he's sent the disciples away for food. He's tired and he's thirsty. Jump into John chapter 4 at verse 7 with me. Jesus says to this woman, "Give me a drink." Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria. John helps us out by telling us that Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Samaritans were half-breeds. They were part Gentile and part Jew, and so they were looked down upon. They were outcasts. And so she's got a question. Jesus, why are you talking to me? I'm a woman. Men don't talk to women in this day, but they certainly, Jewish men certainly don't talk to Samaritan women. Verse 10, Jesus answers her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying this to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Curiosity is like just kind of beaming out of her. How do I know that? Check out verse 11. So the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where did you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well to drink and he drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock? Verse 13, watch this, it's really important. Jesus said to her, whoever drinks of this water, they will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Verse 15, so the woman, her curiosity is really piqued now. So she said, hey, Jesus, hey, man, hey, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. I want you to notice that she's stuck thinking about her everyday life, the mundane parts of her life. Probably going to this water well was something that she did on a daily basis. But Jesus, he takes the conversation to a deeper place. Watch the shift in the conversation. Look at verse 16. And Jesus said, go call your husband and tell him to come here too. Verse 17, the woman answered him, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. You know, there's so much happening in the details of this story. It's actually 45 verses long. We don't have time to read the entire story this morning, but it's revealing so much to us about God's character and about his nature. If you haven't had a chance, I want to encourage you to read it because it's just like eye-opening verse by verse as you come along and you see all the things that God's doing in the passage. I love the way that John Piper describes what God's doing at work here in John chapter 4. He said, one of the glorious things about having a sovereign savior, that's Jesus, is that he is always multi-purposeful. And his purposes are always gracious for those who trust him. If we could see, watch this, if we could see what God could see, we would see millions upon millions of purposes in every action of the Son of God. God is never doing just one thing in what he does with us. He is always doing thousands of things that we cannot see. He never has only one purpose in what he does. He always has thousands of purposes. In everything he does, he is infinitely wise, and everything he does relates to everything else that he does sooner or later. And you know, this story is a perfect example of that. This is just a sample, 11 verses, but it is a clear picture of what walking with Jesus looks like, about how Jesus, the living water, meets your spiritual thirsts. He will satisfy your very soul. What I want you to do for a few moments this morning, it may seem a little bit awkward, but I want you to stop and put yourself in the story, right? It's obvious we're not Jesus and we didn't read any other parts of the story. So there's only one other person that is in the parts of the story that we read, and that's the woman. You see, I think to get to the deeper meaning of this story, to understand what walking with Jesus looks like, how he meets your spiritual thirst, is that you have to have the eyes of this woman. You know, it's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? I'm so thankful that my personal conversations with Jesus about my sin life, they're not recorded in scripture for all of you guys to read. But I think that is actually the point. Because, you know, when we have her eyes sitting right there talking to the Savior of the world, it's at that point that each one of us can realize what a conversation with Jesus really looks like. How he meets your very need. How he quenches your thirst. Because when your thirst is quenched by the living water, you are overwhelmed by the pursuit of Jesus. I hope you aren't offended by me asking you to think of yourself as this woman. I'm praying that we would all see ourselves as her this morning. That all humanity is in the story, and all humanity is represented by this woman, this half-breed adulterous woman who is coming in a routine everyday task to a well just to draw water. You know, you may have heard this passage being used to teach about evangelism, and I think that's okay, but it has a greater, deeper meaning when it shows us what walking with Jesus looks like and how he meets our, or how he quenches our spiritual thirst. Because you see, Jesus is the living water, and a relationship with him is what he's offering the woman. He's not offering her, hey, here's a get out of jail free card so you don't have to draw water again. He's offering her a relationship with the God of the universe that will satisfy every need that she has. And that's what he's offering us today. But you see, I think it's difficult for us because we so oftentimes put ourselves at the center of everything that we do and every story that we read. And so if it doesn't humble you this morning to have to think about yourself as this adulterous Samaritan woman, you just might have been reading the wrong story this week. You might have been on the wrong page. But you see, before you get too angry with me, I want you to stop and think about the ways in which God the Father is pursuing this woman through the person of Jesus. Because as I reminded you, John opened this passage telling us that Jesus had finished his ministry in Judea and he's headed back to Galilee. And he could have traveled around Samaria as he had done before. He had already made this trip once before, but this time he doesn't travel around Samaria. He goes right to Sychar, right to that well, because Jesus had this appointment to keep with that woman. And he engages in a conversation. I was struck by just how messy she is this week. All the quirky parts of her personality and her questions, one question after another. She reminds me of a teenager who seems like deflecting the seriousness of the moment. Oh my goodness, he just asked me this really serious question about my sin life, and now I'm going to just distract him by asking him a question about worship. He goes after her deepest hurts. He doesn't let the conversation be about physical thirst. And he gives her exactly what she needs most, an invitation to have a relationship with the God of the universe, her creator, the very one who can meet her, who can quench her spiritual thirst. And I don't know about you, but I don't mind seeing myself as the woman when I think about that kind of love pursuing me. Awkwardness flies out the window. You know, I'm getting older, and I'm thankful that you guys have put up with my getting older stories over the years. Thanks for group therapy sessions and just the opportunity to just reason some things out in front of you. And it happened again this week. This time it happened over me watering my grass, right? Because I'm outside watering my grass, and I'm realizing, oh my goodness, I'm becoming my father. I can remember being a teenage boy and in the summertime specifically thinking, oh, Lord Jesus, please don't let my life ever be reduced to getting up, going to work, coming home, watering the grass. But it has. We live in San Antonio, and you know what? You got that water restriction thing, so you got to water by hand. I don't have a sprinkler system, and so you know what? I water my grass a lot by hand. I get excited when I look at the weather forecast and I notice it's going to rain. Right? Man, it's going to be awesome. A couple of weeks ago, we were preparing to go out of town and go on vacation, and then we had Passion Camp, and so I made an investment, not in a sprinkler system, but in this glorious little box, and you can hook it up to your sprinkler or to your faucet outside and program that thing, and it'll turn on the water for you. It's awesome. Guess what? sometime tomorrow, my grass is going to get watered and I don't have to be outside to do it. And that thrills my soul. And you see, the problem with seeing yourself at the center of every experience and in every story is that you lack perspective sometimes, right? You don't see what's coming right around the corner. You don't see that in front of you is the idea that you will have to water your grass when you turn 40. If you want to be a respectable person in the neighborhood, you don't want to have just dirt out there in the front yard. You want to take care of the investment. You're going to have to become that person that waters their grass or thinks about it at least every day. And my fear is this morning is that it'll feel awkward to us to think of ourselves as this adulterous woman at the well. But if we fail to do that, I think we'll miss what walking with Jesus looks like, what sitting beside him, having a conversation about the very deepest parts of our soul really feels like. Because for this woman, she had her spiritual thirst quenched that day. And I don't know about you, but that's something that I want. And so this morning, we have to realize that our spiritual thirst is quenched when we are overwhelmed by the pursuit of Jesus. But there's one other thing I think this story reminds me or shows me, reveals to me, is that your thirst is quenched by the living water when you are no longer satisfied by anything else. About 500 years before Jesus had this conversation with this woman at this well, the prophet Jeremiah spoke on behalf of God in this way, chapter 2, verse 13. God speaking to his people said, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Spiritual thirst has been around a long time. In fact, all humanity inherited it from our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Adam. You see, he didn't understand spiritual thirst at work because before original sin, he was thirsty for nothing. But that day that he was tempted, that day that he walked outside of God's plan, his heart was awakened to spiritual thirst for the very first time. And you know what else we inherited from Adam? Our tenacity to dig and build false wells, to do our best to ignore God's word and to try anything and everything to try to satisfy the deepest places in our hearts other than just go to Jesus and have a relationship with him. You see, I can also remember how crazy it was. I think it was in the fourth grade when the very first time that I heard of someone try to sell me a bottle of water for a dollar, right? How ridiculous it was that they would take a bottle, one quite this size, and put it in a Coke machine and ask us to pay for that. Wow, it's crazy. What's the world coming to? Why would you ever want to spend a dollar for a bottle of water? Wow, how times have changed. I counted the other day, there are 37 different kinds of bottles of water that you can buy on the HEB aisle, right? And I was just thinking about this, that what exactly did Jesus mean when he said, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him, he will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." There was one other thing that I purchased at HEB that I didn't put up here. One other source of life. That's Dr. Pepper. If you ever spent any time in the great city of Waco, you know and understand that water is essential for life, but so is Dr. Pepper. And you see, here's the deal. Just kind of walk with me. If you need help in the analogy, I just want you to think of all of these other bottles of water that are surrounding the Dr. Pepper as just these false wells that we all dig. I don't have to give you a list. You know what you struggle with today. You know what is the constant thing in your life that you go to instead of your relationship with Jesus. And you see, whether we like to admit it or not, what most of us do in our relationship with Jesus is we come to him to drink. Yeah, you thought it was going to overflow. We take a sip, and we think that's enough. the cap on Jesus, put him over here, and then we go to work on everything else. And you see, this morning, what I want you to see is that's just not the gospel. You taking a sip from the fountain of living water and then you going to work on everything else is just not the gospel. What Jesus said clearly to this woman was that the water that I give you will become in you a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You know, the thing about a spring is that you can't control it. And so I just wonder if I could change the paradigm for you this morning. If I could help you see that maybe, just maybe, the battling of sin in your life and the allowing that spring of living water to quench all the other thirsts in your life, maybe it looks a little bit more like this. When you take a drink, when you taste the living water, you go, wow, that is so amazing. And then you go over to other people and you say to them, hey, other people, I just tasted living water for the very first time. And it pales in comparison to pornography, to anger, to lust, to addictions. It just pales in comparison. And you testify to the rest of the world that you've tasted living water. You don't relinquish it to some corner of your life and you don't go to work. You just tell other people over and over again how great the living water is. And then when you kind of feel those things coming back or you kind of notice some more, you go back to Jesus and you taste him one more time. You drink deeply one more time, and then you say, Jesus, I need you to satisfy this other addiction, this other thing that I'm struggling. And sooner or later, what you notice is that you're going to Jesus and you're drinking deeply in a relationship with him. And each time that happens, some more of these just begin to disappear. It's a spring that flows up in your life and it leads you to eternal life. You aren't in the equation. You working hard isn't anywhere in there. And my guess is that's what she had come to know on a daily basis all of her life. Going to the well to draw water. And Jesus stepped into that moment. He says, I have something that will help you never thirst again. And I just wonder if we're just a bunch of thirsty people trying hard. And Jesus is saying, come drink from me this morning. If you don't believe it, check out how the story ends. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him, believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. No shame attached there. She's just telling everybody. I sat and I talked with Jesus and he told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with him. And he stayed there 2 more days. Why did he stay? Because she was there and she was testifying to what tasting Jesus looks like. And then watch this. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard of ourselves and we know that this is indeed the Savior. And I just wonder, if you've never really had your spiritual thirst quenched because you just think it's something you do on your own, you think it's something private, you don't talk about your struggles with anybody else, you can't ever find a context to admit that you're an adulterous woman in the need of having a conversation with Jesus. You know, a couple of years ago, I had the chance to take some students to Rwanda. 2009, we got the chance to build the walls of a church. In 2011, we went back and we got to put the floor in to this church. It was a pretty incredible experience. I'll show you a picture. It's us right there. We're preparing that floor, breaking up some rocks, preparing it for the concrete that we're about to mix. There's just one problem. These guys didn't have a hose around the corner. No, the source of water was a well. It was about 1.5 miles down that road. You can see us carrying those yellow pails. down that hill right there. And you know, we were a lot of help carrying those buckets, those empty buckets down that hill, but we weren't a whole lot of help carrying those 5-gallon buckets back up that hill. It was hard work. When we got there, this is what we saw. Those people, they're not with our, those children, they're not with our team. They're there doing what they do every day, going to the well and drawing water. When we got there, my heart broke. Not in school, haven't eaten breakfast yet. They gotta go get water. Something I take for granted every day. I just walk over to a faucet and I turn it on. And here's the deal. It's actually not, I didn't put that image up there so that we would think about water and the well and what we need to do and minister to the Rwandans, although those are all good thoughts. I wanted you to see that picture because I was standing at that well that day thinking, man, this experience is gonna have changed my life forever. I will never, ever forget what it felt like to stand there that day and see these children doing this routine task of having to go get water. But you know what? That's just not true. The more time that passes between that moment and today, the more I forget. It's not as powerful of an experience anymore because I'm not there, because I don't see them on a daily basis anymore. Because I don't hear the trickle of the water coming out that pipe. Because I don't feel the burden of that 5-gallon thing that I was carrying. Because I don't have the knowledge of, man, we got to carry all this water back up that hill. I don't have the thoughts of these little sniffly kids running around. I'm not there anymore. And you see, this week I was struck by the fact that Jesus met this woman on a day. Right in the middle of her everyday routine. And we just might miss what God's doing in our lives when we fail to see that he shows up on a daily basis in our lives and he's just ready there for us to drink deeply from him to fight the battles in our lives. And we put ourselves at the center of the story and we think we're supposed to do all this stuff, but no, Jesus shows up every day. You don't need a long time to pass in between the experiences so that you forget what it's like for Jesus to fill you up. No, it can happen today, and it can happen tomorrow, and it can happen the next day, and the next day, because today is a day. And just like the day he showed up in her life, he wants to show up in our lives today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. The question is, are you thirsty? Where are you drinking from? So would you pray with me? I want to ask the band guys to come back up and just help us respond to Jesus in this moment. Because today is a day that Jesus has designed to meet you right here in this place. And I don't know what brought you to church this morning. But what I do know is that Jesus wants to draw close to you just like he did to this woman. Have a conversation with you about your spiritual thirst, about your deepest needs. So Lord Jesus, we invite you into this place. Holy Spirit, to work in our hearts and in our minds. To lead us to your feet, Lord Jesus, to let go of certain things that we're struggling with and just say, Lord Jesus, have your way in our lives. Uncover the false wells that we drink from. Show us, expose them so that we can run from them and run to you, the source of living water, and drink deeply from you right now in this moment. Holy Spirit, I ask, I pray that you would wade through the terminology, living water and drink and all that stuff straight to the heart of Jesus right now. And speak that into these people that I love such that we would all hear your voice and respond to you. In Jesus' name we pray and believe.